Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Coffee and Devotions. This is where every day you and I, we get together, we have a little bit of coffee, we get into God's Word, and we grow in our love for the Lord together. And this year, 2022, we'll make it all the way from the book of Acts to the book of Philemon. I'm so glad to be with you this morning. Let's have some coffee, we'll pray, and we'll get into God's Word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day. What a blessing it is to come to your word. And we pray that now as we read your word, that you would be working in us. Care for us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we are going to go through 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, concerning things offered to idols. So this is a new section. Now, concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. If anyone thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. Therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is no God, no other God, but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live. However, there is not in everyone that knowledge. For some, with consciousness of the idol, until now eat it as a thing offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. But food does not commend us to God, for neither if we eat are we better, nor if we do not eat are we the worse. But beware, lest somehow this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak. For if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things offered to idols? And because of your knowledge, shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? But when you thus sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. Well, we need to ask ourselves, A, what is this about? B, what's the best verse to summarize this? And C, what are we called to do in response to this, right? So A, what's this about? The translation here in the New King James is a little bit rough. Some more paraphrastic translations are sometimes helpful here. I actually think the Greek is more helpful than the New King James here. What's this getting about, right? People are saying in the church, we know that an idol is nothing. We know that there's only one God. We know that these supposed gods and these supposed lords, they're not real. And so, you know, I can go to an idol temple and I can go and eat and it's no big deal. I can go and eat meat sacrificed to the idols and it's not a big deal. Now, we've seen this before in Romans chapter 14, and we're going to see it even more in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Chapters 8, 9, and 10 are actually joined together. So over the next few days, we'll be working through these together. But what Paul is getting at is, in the old world, and in Corinth, there was this reality that most people didn't eat meat all that much, except at the temple. Because the temples acted like, as one commentator says, butcher shops and banquet halls. If you were part of a trade guild, if you were part of a social club, you would go to the temple, and that's where you would actually go, and you would eat meat, and you would have a banquet. And so people are saying, you know, I really want to still go and participate in these things, but it's at an idol's temple, but idols aren't really anything, so I guess I'll go. And then what happens is there are people in the church and they're watching you and you say you're a Christian. But you're going to the temple of Neptune. You're going to Poseidon's temple and you're eating the meat that was sacrificed. You know that it was sacrificed to an idol. How can you go and do that? And, well, it's okay. You know, I know that an idol's nothing. But the weaker brother's conscience is like, there's something wrong here. And Paul is saying, in this scenario, the weaker brother's right. Because if you're looking down your nose on him, and you're like, bah, stop judging me, you know, a weaker idol's nothing. You know, why don't you actually come and eat with us and you'll see. Well, the problem is that Paul is going to really lean in on this in chapter 10, is that the eating of food that is sacrificed to an idol in the temple, you know it came from an idol sacrifice. So don't join yourself together with demons, right? And so he says, you got to watch out for the weaker brother's conscience. Now, this is weaker, most likely by the judgment of the one who's eating the meat, right? And so here, Paul gives a stern admonition to love. The point is, do we love our brothers and our sisters? Or is it out of a motivation for what I want to do? Now, this is hard. Right? Please don't hear this as an easy thing that he was calling the Corinthian Christians to do. This means they were, one, eating less meat, which if you're somebody who likes to eat meat, this is the primary way where you would have eaten it. Two, you're saying, I love Jesus Christ and I love these brothers more than even my business associates or my friendships. And so I'm going to say no to this because I love them more. Talk about a hard pill to swallow. Talk about asking to be ridiculed. What's the best verse to kind of get to the idea of this? I think 11, 12, and 13. I know I'm cheating. You're only supposed to underline like one or two verses. I underlined three. And because of your knowledge, shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? But when you thus sin against the brethren, you wound their weak conscience. You sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. And that really, verse 13 really gets at this last idea here of what we're called to do. If food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. What's more important? Paul says that into the ends of the age, I'll never eat meat if it means that I can love my brother, if it means that I could care for this person who God has placed in my life. By this they will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And so you know what? My brother over there who's got a weaker conscience because of him, I'm not going to eat meat. Now we talked about this. You can go back and rewatch the video for Romans chapter 14. Where we talked about how the both people can become tyrants, the tyrant of the stronger conscience and the tyrant of the weaker conscience, and the person with a weaker conscience could drag you into legalism, and the person with the stronger conscience could drag you into a libertine idea of conscience. But the reality here is, are you willing to sacrifice for your brother? My pastor in Beaver Falls, Micah, he used to say, I only wear a tie to preach because I don't want to be an offense to you all. He hates ties. He thinks they're like a leash. He doesn't care about them, but he loves the people in the church. So you know what? He'll wear a tie. You take this principle and you can see that anything not done of faith is sin. And so how do we care for other people's consciences? How do we make sure that we are preserving ourselves from the idolatry of the world and also preserving the weaker brother's conscience? In some churches, this looks like abstaining from alcohol. But not in a Galatian way where you're putting a stumbling block, a legalistic thing in front of your brothers, but you know, there are certain people that I know who are struggling with alcohol, and I know that drinking alcohol isn't a sin, but guess what? Getting drunk is a sin, and this person has struggled for a long time with not being a drunk, and so I don't drink around them. Why? Because I love my brother and my sister. You know, there are things in which God has given us freedom to do, but that doesn't mean that we ought to do them. Christ died for that person. And so I need to care for them. I need to love them. So the applications for this are myriad, and I don't want to lay each one of them out before you, but here it's meat sacrifice to idols. What does it look like in your life? Are there things that you need to restrain yourself from to show love to your brother or sister? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for what a blessing it is to follow you, to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, we pray that you would please let us walk in love. You have loved us, Lord. We pray that we would love others and that the world would know that we're your disciples. Please keep us from idols. In Jesus' name, amen. May the Lord bless you today. May you walk in the joy and peace of Jesus Christ. And I'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from God's Word for You, a ministry of Sharon RP Church in rural Southeast Iowa. We pray that the message would be used by God to transform your faith and your life this week. If you'd like to get more information about us, feel free to go to the website, SharonRPC.org. We'd love to invite you to worship with us. Our worship time is 10 a.m. every Sunday at 25204 160th Avenue, Morning Sun, Iowa, 52640. May God richly bless you this week.